The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
It's a no-brainer that he's the number one overall pick.
Who's going to be the second quarterback in this draft?
If you want it, don't wait your turn. None of this is given. Everything is earned.
No matter the moment, I'm going to do whatever it takes to win.
The whole point of the game is to win the game and have fun.
This guy is electric.
My main goal is to win every game.
Touchdown, Cougars!
Keep the naysayers at a distance. Speak success into existence.
Happy Monday, friends, and welcome to NFL Live. Here's what people are talking about, what we're talking about right now. An extremely important moment in the draft lead-up happened. It could impact which teams take which players. BYU quarterback Zach Wilson attended the medical checks in Indy, the latest there, and how that may solidify the Jets pick. And number two, plus the latest on the medical side for cornerback Caleb Farley. One person here says he's the best corner in the draft. Also coming later, we'll tell you why the Packers made the wrong gamble and why it could cost them Aaron Rodgers. Plus, the reason Jerry Jones needs to put his Trader Jerry hat back on, he's got 10 picks. Dallas needs to make an impact. You see it right there, Marcus Spears and Mina Kimes. And that's also Matt Miller. He's going to be in that wall, I promise. Adam Schefter is joining us later on as well. Sam Darnold, guys, let's begin there. And he's now in Carolina, not just in his mind. Shout out to James Taylor for those who listen. Darnold was introduced today by the Panthers as he begins a journey to revive his young career. You see him arriving there ahead of a press conference with head coach Matt Rhule. Both Rhule and Darnold spoke, and here's some of what they said.
Obviously, getting drafted as high as I did, you know, my expectations were to go in there, play 20 years and, you know, win Super Bowls. And, you know, that was the dream going in there. And but obviously it didn't work out. But now, you know, coming in as a Carolina Panther, I'm very excited for this opportunity and just to, you know, come in, you know, with a fresh start and, you know, just excited to get going.
There was a report right after the trade that you picked up Sam's fifth year option. Can you just tell us if you did? And if so, was that kind of a business decision or does that speak to your faith in his ability?
We have not done anything with that yet. Quite honest, we need another really strong draft. So at the eighth position, we'll be flexible. We'll look to take the best player available. We'll continue to look at quarterbacks. You know, I've been impressed going around and watching some of these guys throw. So we'll look at anything and everything. You know, there is no, we're not locked in everything.
Adam Schefter, we start with you. You think the Panthers are done at that QB position yet?
Well, you heard Matt Rhule himself there, Laura, say, we're not done at quarterback. We would look at quarterback. And so it doesn't mean that they will go quarterback at the eighth overall pick, because acquiring Sam Darnold gives them flexibility. If the quarterback that they want is there, I think they'll strongly consider it. And if not, they've got no problem going in another direction. But they did not want to sit around and wait until the draft to come without making a move at the quarterback position when they had a chance to go get a guy like Sam Darnold. Keep in mind, Matt Rhule interviewed for the Jets job. He had done work on Sam Darnold. Scott Fitterer, the Panthers GM, had interviewed for the Jets job. He had done work on Sam Darnold. They knew what they were getting, and they wanted to lock that in. And then from there, they could go best player available, whether that's a quarterback or whether that's somebody to help some other position.
Yeah, it's important context. And to your point, Adam, kind of a win-win there for the Panthers. Either way, everyone needs quarterback depth no matter what. So let's get these guys' opinion on this as we welcome Marcus, Mina, and Matt back to the show here. Marcus, if a quarterback is there at that eighth pick, should they take him?
If it's Justin Fields, hell yeah. And create not only create competition, but you also see where you go with Sam Darnold. I love Matt Rhule, no-nonsense approach. Tepper, the owner of the Carolina Panthers, the same way. And obviously, we thinking Joe Brady is going to be the catalyst to get him. But Joe Brady would love to have Justin Fields as well. Trust me, y'all, you can't have too much of an embarrassment at riches at the quarterback spot, especially from a talent standpoint. Now, obviously, you got to get these guys to play at the high level. Justin Fields only, though. If he's not available, the Panthers should draft offensive line, surround Sam Darnold, give him that confidence that he's their guy, and move forward in that direction. So it'll be interesting to see. If Justin Fields is there at 8, I'm going to be very disappointed in the draft, y'all, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm with you. If Justin Fields is there, it's a different conversation. Based on where I had Sam Darnold ranked before the 2018 NFL draft, I would actually have Justin Fields ahead of him. So I'm with you there, Marcus. But I think the key here is the offensive line. They drafted Greg Little out of Ole Miss in 2019 in the second round. He hasn't really panned out. So left tackle is a huge need. What do we keep saying about teams like the Cincinnati Bengals? You have to protect your young quarterback. Part of Sam Darnold's problems with the New York Jets was a lack of protection, among other things. So I think if you are this team, you're sitting here at 8, this could be the first offensive tackle off the board. Is Penei Sewell, Rashawn Slater from Northwestern is there. Both have been battle-tested coming out of big programs. Both players opted out this past year, but I think they are exceptional talents. Penei Sewell, the number 4 overall player on my big board this year. I mean, this is a plug-and-play improvement over what they've had at the left tackle position.
Yeah, I mean, left tackle hasn't just been an issue for Carolina recently. That's been a revolving door with his organization for nearly a decade. The last left tackle to start in back-to-back seasons for the Panthers was Jordan Gross. That was back in 2013. I have to think Carolina is looking at last year's draft, where you've got teams like Cleveland or Tampa Bay that had a lot of success with rookie tackles, and thought, well, maybe we can do the same thing. Obviously, if Sewell's there, it's a no-brainer for them. But Rashawn Slater out of Northwestern, look, his tape might not be as sexy as like a Kyle Pitts or Ja'Marr Chase, but if you want sexy, watch him against Chase Young a couple years ago. And that's, you'll get pretty excited, yes, about that if you're a Panthers fan, because he's about as polished a prospect as he gets. I don't think he has the upside of a Sewell, but he is incredibly athletic. He is plug and play. I think for them, having the ability to address the position that's been such an issue with this team for so long would be a wise move, regardless of whether Sam Darnold is the long-term future of the organization, because a left tackle can be the future for a very long time.
And Mina, that's the great point, right? They could go left tackle, or they could do what Marcus is saying and go Justin Fields. And if they decide to go Justin Fields, let's keep in mind, Sam Darnold has that fifth-year option. They don't know whether they want to commit to him long-term. If you hit on a rookie quarterback these days and get that rookie quarterback contract, you set up your franchise financially to make a lot of moves that it ordinarily could not. See the Seattle Seahawks with Russell Wilson on his rookie contract. And so this is the dilemma that the Panthers will wrestle with in the next 17 days and all the way up to their pick in the first round.
Yeah, but the one interesting thing, guys, that I do want to point out in all this is that the dilemma of where Sam Darnold will be, at least for now, has been alleviated. You could hear the relief in his voice today, yeah, even as he was talking. And listen, we know this may be one of his last or his last best chance, but good for Sam Darnold and good for the Panthers giving him another shot. Hey, one of the most important events related to the NFL draft was completed just a few days ago, and this likely isn't the last you'll hear of it as we get closer to the end of the month. I'm talking about medical checks in Indy, where top prospects were examined by 64 medical personnel, the team doctor and head athletic trainer from all 32 NFL teams. Players with medical red flags were also checked out. So, Adam, why was this so important?
Well, Laura, it was so important because there was no combine this year. And people know the combine as drills and times and lifting, but it's really about the medical in Indianapolis. And so there are 125 prospects that went to Indianapolis last week for medical rechecks. And I've spoken to front office executives who have flat out said they would prefer not to draft a player that they don't have extensive medical checks on. So the players that went back there last week, I think, have something of an advantage. And there's a record for GMs and executives to look at when they're making a decision about whether or not to draft them going forward. And so that's a huge deal that these teams are sitting through. And think about all the times that we're at the combine where something leaks out about a top prospect's shoulder or knee or heart. Something comes out. That has not happened yet this year because there was no combine in February. But those little factoids will leak out here in the days to come.
Yeah, and I think one of those important players, Adam, Zach Wilson, obviously getting the shoulder checked out, but Caleb Farley, the corner from Virginia Tech, who before the season, when we start compiling our notes about who are the top players for the 2021 NFL draft, I had multiple front office people say Caleb Farley is the best corner for next year. Now, he opted out this past year when given that option, but he is one of the most physically gifted corners in this class. I know Adam was the person who broke the news about the microdiscectomy. Caleb Farley has said he's okay. His agent, Drew Rosenhaus, has said he's okay. But NFL teams will have to check that for themselves. And that is the huge key coming out of this, is a player who could be on the board as early as number 10 for the Dallas Cowboys, could see his name slip to where maybe it's later Thursday night when he finally is drafted. But I think Caleb Farley is probably the most intriguing name, until we get some of those medical leaks, at least, of a person who we know needed to get that evaluation so teams can decide what his immediate and long-term health is really going to look like.
Someone may end up getting a steal there. Caleb Farley, by the way, has said he is the best cornerback in this draft. Some more news for you today. Former Chiefs assistant coach Britt Reid, the son of Andy Reid, has been charged with felony driving while intoxicated after a crash this past February that left a 5-year-old girl critically injured. Prosecutors say Reid was driving just under 84 miles per hour and had a blood alcohol level of 0.113 just after the crash near Arrowhead Stadium. Reid is expected to turn himself in today and faces up to 7 years in prison if convicted. 5-year-old Ariel Young suffered a traumatic brain injury from the accident and is still unable to talk or walk, according to her family's attorney. The Chiefs say their prayers are focused on Ariel's continued healing and recovery, and that they are in regular contact with her family.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Can you hear that?
Touchdown, Clemson! 67 yards, Trevor Lawrence.
Next chapter.
Closer and closer to the draft day. Trevor Lawrence got married over the weekend. Congrats to him, by the way. Let's get to some top stories, some other top stories on this Monday with Adam Schefter. Adam, couple extremely important pro days this week.
Well, this is what this week is all about, Laura. In the days leading up to the NFL draft, Justin Fields will hold another pro day at Ohio State later this week that the 49ers, amongst others, are expected to attend, followed up by the Trey Lance pro day on Monday at North Dakota State. And so it'll be a chance for the 49ers and other teams to get a look at the quarterbacks that will be in contention for the number 3 pick, as well as all the other teams that have a quarterback need. And one other note, Laura, a short time ago, the Buccaneers agreed to a 1-year deal with former Bengals running back Giovanni Bernard. Call it the Tom Brady effect, because that's what it is.
Yeah, Mina just said in a group text that that's the final piece for the Buccaneers. So there you go. How about this? What oh what will the Cowboys do with the 10th pick in the draft, guys? Don't rule out the possibility they could trade up for a player Jerry Jones has fallen in love with, Florida tight end Kyle Pitts by chance. But for the Cowboys, who need depth, especially on defense, their other picks matter. They have 10 total picks this year. Cowboys reporter Todd Archer is joining us now. Todd, what do you think Jerry Jones and the Cowboys should do in the draft?
This might sound counterproductive to some, but the Cowboys need trader Jerry to make an appearance during the draft. No, not to move up from number 10 overall in the first round to take Kyle Pitts, but to add as much quality as possible. The Cowboys in free agency took a quantity approach, signing 10 players. The draft? That has to be about quality. Only the Eagles have more selections than the Cowboys' 10. They have 4 picks inside the top 100, 6 inside the top 150. Jerry Jones has a long history of being a wheeler and dealer. He's made 68 draft day trades since 1989. Last year, the Cowboys targeted Tyler Biadasz in the 4th round. They gave up 2 5th rounders to go get him. This year, Biadasz projects to be their starting center. Trader Jerry doesn't need to be wild Jerry, but he can be precise Jerry.
Yeah, Todd, I think the problem is trying to tell Jerry himself not to be Wild Jerry, right? Marcus, what do you think? Trader Jerry here? What would you do if you're Jerry Jones?
Wild Jerry from his yacht. If being wild get me all of that, let me get it, man. Listen, this is one of the things that's the conundrum. Obviously, we have the Kyle Pitts entering this conversation, and if he's there at 10, you take him. But it's two scenarios for me, y'all, and it's really not that complicated. At 10, whether you feel like the offensive line needs to be fortified and you need to start preparing to add depth to that with a guy that can play and really play multiple positions, if you feel like that Slater is there or Darren Shaw, if you have guys that you feel like can come in, plug and play, and make you marketably better up front, you do that. We watch that offensive line. Secondly, if the defense is going to be the focus, I'm saying take the corner. Either Surtain, Farley, based on medical, and just go opposite of Diggs and start creating this 4-3 defense for Dan Quinn that he's trying to implement. I think this defense will be better. This defense will be better because of scheme. They had no idea what they were doing last year, y'all. And it ain't making excuses for the Cowboys. I've seen guys that doesn't fit in schemes not be the type of player that they should be and then go elsewhere and end up being pro bowlers and going and potentially all pros. So that matters. But those are the two scenarios for me. Get Kyle Pitts out of your damn mind. Trade up to go get him.
I was the one that said it this time. Matt.
Yeah, I agree with Marcus with what he's saying here. And I do think one thing that we have to remember, though, this is an offensive-minded team. Jerry Jones wants to score points. He wants to sell tickets. He wants to be on SportsCenter. They want to score points in Dallas. And last year, just for 2 months, everyone had told me, put in your mock draft, go defense for Dallas. They drafted CeeDee Lamb because he was still on the board. So I think that is something we have to remember. I'm not going to go full Kyle Pitts on you guys today, but I do think one of the offensive linemen, if Penei Sewell from Oregon, Rashawn Slater from Northwestern, if either player is there, they have to be considered at 10. And one more note that I would throw in. They do need defense. There's not a pass rusher this year who's a value at 10 overall. There's corner might even be a little bit of a stretch at 10 overall. Yeah. This is not a great defensive draft. I have one player ranked in my top 10. That's Micah Parsons from Penn State at linebacker, is maybe a position they're actually kind of okay at. So that is the other element of this is you're probably reaching if you go defense at 10.
Yeah, it's tricky because on one hand, when you say the Dallas Cowboys should go offense in the first round, it's almost like you're out of bread and milk and eggs and you go to the grocery store and you just come back with a cake. Like, you don't need cake. You really are like, you need to make a whole meal on defense. But it makes sense in my mind. But what Matt said about the board and sort of where the different players are slotted right now and the sort of distribution of talent, it does make sense that Dallas wouldn't want to go defense at number 10, although I do think Patrick Surtain might be worth it. To me, it might actually be astute for Trader Jerry to trade down from pick 10, depending on who wants that, take a Christian Barmore, and then potentially add a corner a little bit later, especially if, as we all assume, Dan Quinn's going to come in and institute that 4-3, play more cover 3 in the back. Then you would love to have a 3-tech and a cornerback who can play zone. So I think Trader Jerry's going to have to get together with Dan Quinn and figure out who do we actually need on this team in the present, because this is a team that is trying to win now.
Marcus, as Mina was throwing that out there, trading back for the Cowboys, you were saying you liked it. Why is that?
Because that's the best case scenario. Look, y'all, if the caveat is if they haven't identified an offensive lineman that's plug and play. Y'all know I'm there with the Dallas Cowboys. I think that is pressing, right? And then defensively, as y'all talked about, the value of these guys up at 10, it's just hard. It's potentially a reach. Trading down and you can get the D-tackle and a corner and those guys outplay their draft position, that is the dream scenario. So that's why when Mina said that I was shaking my head, because it makes a ton of sense when we're not looking at, like, game-changing, draft-defining defenders in this draft.
Yeah, you know who is game-changing is Kyle Pitts, and I think it's going to be really tempting for Jerry Jones to have to avoid. He's going to be like, let me just trade up, let me get this guy, and then everyone else is going to have to talk him out of it. All right, we've got some breaking news here on NFL Live. Let's get Adam Schefter in here. Adam, what's going on?
All right, Laura, moments ago, the Patriot wide receiver Julian Edelman's name showed up on today's transaction wire as having his contract terminated. However, our Mike Reese is reporting that that is a technicality. And the more significant issue is that Julian Edelman is expected to retire. And so the Patriots released him from his contract today, but they did so with the understanding that Julian Edelman now would be retiring from football. And if so, it would cap an incredible career for a guy that single-handedly made one of the more memorable catches in Super Bowl history, came out of college, and basically went from a college quarterback to somebody who got the most out of his career, who became an ideal slot receiver, who became a weapon that Tom Brady depended upon, who really symbolized the toughness of a city and helped that team turn into a dynasty. And it looks like this is now the end, certainly of his time in New England and his time in the NFL. Let the debate begin about whether Julian Edelman belongs in Canton, Ohio. To me, he does. We'll let the others decide. But Julian Edelman, obviously now released by the Patriots today, according to today's wire, and now expected to retire, according to Mike Reese.
Wow, Adam, I think what you said there was so poignant, that he got the most out of his ability, the most out of his career. This is really interesting stuff. Let's bring in Marcus here. What do you think, Marcus, as you hear that Julian Edelman expected to retire?
Yeah, listen, we've been enamored with the conversation between Tom Brady and Bill Belichick and what's the Patriot way. Julian Edelman is the definition of the Patriot way as well. Unknown guys becoming stars and playing big roles is what New England has done for a long time. And he's one of those examples you point to as saying, this is the guy that defines the Patriot way. Hard working, play through injury, tough. Shefty talked about the catch that he made. I think it's right up there with Tyree making his catch in the Super Bowl for the Giants. Julian Edelman has had a remarkable career. He was a guy that you had to plan for. You had to make sure you knew where he was, because you knew he could tear you up out of that slot position. So, look, if this is it, kudos to him. He did his thing. He balled out. He is one of the definitions of the Patriot way that we've talked about. Unsung guys becoming household names, contributing to Super Bowls, and playing big, big roles in the success of a team over a number of years. Shout out to J.E. Go do your thing, man.
Yeah, I mean, one word for me, playoffs. I mean, this guy is responsible for some of the biggest moments in the postseason of the last decade of football, modern football history. Like, we can have the Hall of Fame debate another day, but in terms of telling the story of football, telling the story of these championship teams, those catches that Edelman came up with in key moments are so memorable. And also, you know, in telling the story of how the game has evolved, why we value slot receivers now the way we do, why nickel is the new base and you got to have a nickel corner defending that position. A lot of that is because of Julian Edelman, how he was used in New England. To me, he defines the Patriots dynasty. He always will. And really, this was just a remarkable career.
Guys, my favorite Julian Edelman thing is that remember on that 2011 Super Bowl run when he played cornerback? And he was out there tackling people pretty well. So I love it. Congratulations to Julian Edelman. The breaking news here on NFL Live that he is expected to retire.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, SAVE. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, SAVE. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Back here on NFL Live, some breaking news just coming down here. We've got Adam Schefter with all the latest. Go ahead, Adam.
Well, Laura, moments ago, Julian Edelman's name showed up on the NFL's transaction wire, having his contract terminated by the Patriots. But Mike Reese has reported that the man who spent 11 seasons in New England, who was a seventh-round draft pick, won 3 Super Bowls and a Super Bowl MVP, is expected to retire. We've known he's played through knee injuries the last couple of years. It's bothered him. It's slowed him down. It hampered him. Think back to last season when it was tough for Julian Edelman to get on the football field. And we also saw how active New England was in free agency when it went out and signed a slew of tight ends and wide receivers. It knew the reality of Julian Edelman's situation. And obviously now, 17 or so days prior to the NFL draft, where the Patriots probably will be seeking even more help at the position, really it's the end of an era in New England. A player who symbolized the toughness of a city now is expected to walk away from the game that he made a huge mark on. And he never made a bigger mark than he did in the postseason. If we go through Julian Edelman's career, you think back to the catch that he made against the Atlanta Falcons, which was just about as tough a catch as any we've seen in Super Bowl history outside of maybe David Tyree. You think back to other catches he made against the Seattle Seahawks, sorry, Mina, in the Super Bowl. There have been so many catches that he's made so far along the way, and he became a model of what you're looking for at that slot receiver. He and Tom Brady were simpatico all the time. They read each other's minds. Again, a tremendous career. There will be a debate as to whether or not he belongs in Canton in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. He does to me. He was that kind of player who left that kind of mark. And I remember having been a voter in other years where they say, can you write the history of the game without this player? And Julian Edelman's mark on the game was instrumental. Again, three Super Bowl wins, one Super Bowl MVP, some of the more memorable postseason catches that we've seen. Julian Edelman now expected to retire from the NFL.
Yeah, Adam, I'm sure Tom Brady will be weighing in soon on this. Julian Edelman, though, beloved by Patriots fans. Congratulations as he is expected to retire. Let's get to some more news about the Browns. Adam, what's going on with Jadeveon Clowney and this Cleveland team?
Well, it's a situation here, Laura, where essentially these two sides have had negotiations and talks during the offseason. And Jadeveon Clowney recently visited Cleveland. And as Diana Rossini reported earlier today, the two sides are talking deal once again. He is expected to visit again, which will be a second straight visit here. The only two places he's known to have visited. There is said to be some interest from some other teams, but Cleveland knows it can sign Clowney and match him opposite of Myles Garrett. And people would not be able to focus in on Clowney with as consumed as they would be with Garrett. And so by playing in Cleveland, it could be something that would help elevate Clowney's career. He struggled with injuries, but maybe he's ready to play and produce at a high level again.
Yeah, Adam, to your point, if you look across the division, T.J. Watt has led that formidable unit of Bud Dupree, Stephon Tuitt, and Cameron Hayward. Garrett has been carrying more than enough weight just by himself as he continues to try to make something happen there in Cleveland, totaling nearly twice as many sacks as any other Browns player in the last two seasons. And while Garrett has faced the third highest rate of double teams on the edge in that span, Clowney ranks right behind him with a nearly identical rate. Be a lot of fun to put these two together. So, Marcus, what do you think about the fit? Clowney with the Browns. How does it work for you?
Damn, Els, I don't be throwing all the stats out there, but when I get a good one, you take it.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I wanted to say Clowney get the double teams.
No, you can
all
say
good.
It.
I'm just playing. Listen. Listen, I think this is a phenomenal move for the Cleveland Browns and Jadeveon Clowney because of his talent and how it lends itself. Look at the examples, y'all. We got Aaron Donald, who Leonard Floyd went and paired up with. We saw Leonard Floyd get paid. We see these type of guys. You just mentioned T.J. Watt. There's benefits to playing with guys like that. I benefited from playing next to DeMarcus Ware when we were in Dallas. This is what Jadeveon Clowney needs, because the question for him has always been the sack totals. He's been a really good football player, people. He's done a tremendous job playing the defensive end position, but we get enamored with those high sack numbers, and we expect first overall picks to be able to do that, and his athleticism and build should lend itself to that. With that being said, he can move. He's fast off the ball. He can take pressure off of Myles Garrett with both of those guys being double teamed at a very high rate. This would be a home run for the Cleveland Browns, and it would ascend them to number one in the division, I believe, if they get it done.
I love this for the Browns, too. Like, it was no mystery going into this offseason what Cleveland needed to address pass defense. They finished 25th in pass defense efficiency last season, and they addressed the back end of that in free agency. John Johnson and Troy Hill signing those defensive backs from the Rams. That was one of my favorite moves, combined moves, in the offseason with the value they got. But pass defense, of course, also includes the pass rush. And what we saw last year was that Olivier Vernon, when he was off the field, the Cleveland pass rush really suffered. Sack rate cut in half. You saw, I think that was a sneaky, impactful absence down the stretch headed into the postseason. And Myles Garrett, as terrifying as he is, he does need another player on that defensive line who can detract from double teams and make his life a little bit easier. The idea of having Clowney as a movable chess piece who they can utilize both on the outside and inside, get standing up. I love that for Cleveland, a team that, frankly, when you start looking across this AFC North at the various depth charts, they've got the best roster in the division, and I don't think it's particularly close at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a luxury to get someone this good, to get someone a number one overall pick, Jadeveon Clowney, to go with Myles Garrett. I think you what you just said made me think about this. Think about the offensive lines. We've talked about Cincinnati maybe needs to go Penei Sewell at five overall. We know their offensive line wasn't very good. The Pittsburgh Steelers lost their left tackle in free agency. The Baltimore Ravens might have to trade their right tackle, Orlando Brown Jr. We have some offensive lines, the AFC North, that could be in flux. This is very smart by Cleveland. Really another really smart move by Cleveland. Now you have these bookend pass rushers that you can move around. You can kick Clowney inside. You can kick Garrett inside. You can play them both standing up like you were saying. So this is a really smart move. It was their biggest need. When you talk about team needs for the draft, it was pass rusher. Yeah. That was their biggest need. Now they have the flexibility to go look at maybe linebacker, maybe getting depth at corner. I think they could use a defensive tackle. And with the number 26th overall pick now, Cleveland could go best player available, especially on defense. They don't have a lot of what you would call quote-unquote needs, so that gives them a ton of fluidity in the first round of this draft class.
Marcus, since I stole your stat really fast, Cleveland a sneaky Super Bowl team potentially?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, dark horse Super Bowl team. And I know it's going – look, I've been as critical on Cleveland because of Baker Mayfield as much as anybody. But if he takes another step forward, y'all, and this team stays healthy. Health was a big issue for them last year. And maybe I didn't talk about it enough, but they were decimated at times defensively and offensively. They lost some offensive line, dealt with COVID. So this is already a good football team. Now you adding – more playmakers. And to Mina's point, you add two guys on the back end. If you get Jadeveon Clowney and this group stays healthy, Grant Delpit will be back. This could be dark horse guys out of the AFC, y'all. I'm not playing.
Okay, so now I know that Marcus forgives me.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
On NFL Live, ESPN senior draft analyst Todd McShay's recent mock draft just had four defenders in his top 15 picks, and that'd be the fewest since the 1999 draft, but that small group still produced elite talent like Champ Bailey, Chris McAllister, and our own Booger McFarland. Could we be sleeping on this class of defenders? You can see those top four there. And while there isn't a clear-cut number one edge rusher, there's plenty of talent on all three levels. So we decided we'd let Marcus Spears take us through his defensive ranking, his top five. I've got the board here, Swagoo, so just remember, I got all the power. If I don't like your pick, I'll just change it. But let's start with number one. Who's your number one guy? We'll go all the way through to number five.
For me, number one is clear. It's Micah Parsons, L Boogie, and it's because of his ability to be multiple. fit any scheme on the next level, and the speed is what you can't get past. This dude reminds me of Darius Leonard. That's who he reminds me of when you watch him play. The covering ground, he can play with the physical nature. And look, I've heard coaches talk about you, if you don't have that flexibility at the linebacker spot, teams are really out on you now. And we saw that with Devin White and Lavonte David. So that's number one for me. Number two would be Surtain. Surtain out of Alabama Junior. Listen, long cornerback, so well coached. Obviously coming out of from Nick Saban. Dallas actually took Diggs last year, who was out of that. But a big physical corner that wants to get up and play you with strength will come up and hit. And that's one thing I always look at these guys. How are they in space tackling? Because that has become paramount on the next level in the NFL. As much as you see the pick sixes, these guys have to be able to get people on the ground. Teams are trying to find space to get guys open. Your corners better be able to tackle. I'm going third with Farley out of Virginia Tech. Listen, had it not been for the injuries, you could make an argument that his skill set leads to him being the number one guy. 6'2", can get up and press guys, plays at the high point, runs routes for guys as you see here, and then staying in the hip pocket and playing with technique, which is so important for young cornerbacks. He looks very polished, ran a great time. The back issue, the back obviously is something that will have people in question. It scares me just a tad. That's why he's three. You can make an argument for Farley at one. The fourth guy I'm going with, which may raise people's eyebrows, Jaylen Phillips out of Miami, transferred from UCLA. His length can lend itself to being a high-powered pass rusher and winning one-on-ones. I love his motor. I love the way he uses his leverage and his speed to create angles and get on shoulders in order to turn the corner. He was impressive, y'all, this year. You see that arm over right there, putting him down in a three technique, the flexibility to move these guys. We just talked about Jadeveon Clowney. We just talked about Leonard Floyd and all of these guys being able to be multiple and move around from a defensive line standpoint. That's Jaylen Phillips. The last one is Aziz. I'm not going to try this last name.
Ojulari.
You say it for him, Else. Ojulari out of Georgia. Looks well coached. It's a raw ability right now, but he played for a really good defense coordinator who I know very well in Kirby Smart. He played against some offensive linemen that will be playing on Sundays and did a pretty good job. His hands need to get better. He needs to focus on that to keep guys off because he's not a huge guy in stature, but he showed the ability to bend the corner, use his long arm to gain leverage outside of offensive tackles. There's other Gregory Russo, a real raw guy. Looked at his film, didn't win a lot of just one-on-ones. A lot of his sacks and production came off of being in the right spot and going around. It's something to be said for that, but these are the five guys I have right now up top, and you could have made an argument for Barmore from the defensive tackle spot, but outside of that, these are my five.
Let's go with your five. I love your five. I broke a sweat doing all that. Matt, what do you think?
You can tell the Spears play D-line, right? Look at all these D-linemen in here, right? Like, oh, let me throw in a couple more. With Russo and Barmore, little bias. A couple names that I would add for your watch list, if you want to watch safeties with me. Trevon Merrick from TCU is a playmaker, a center fielder who can match up. Mm-hmm. Got to keep an eye on him. J.C. Horn from South Carolina, who had a great year, and then a fantastic pro day. If you just want to watch a mean corner, and I know we don't see a lot of those, J.C. Horn is your guy to watch. So I like it. You're covered on the D lineman, that's for sure. You got them all.
I like Marcus's ranking, and I agree with you on the edge rushers, which is fascinating because every mock draft I look at has a different ranking for edge in this class, which is unusual because basically every other position, almost, there's a consensus number one, offensive tackle, defensive tackle, Barmore, Parsons, you mentioned Merrick, whereas with edge rusher, I've seen whether it's Ojulari or Kwity Paye. There's a different guy in the top of every list. I like Jaylen Phillips. To me, out of all of this entire class, he is the most complete edge rusher. He's got the size, the production, the measurables, all of it. But, of course, the issue with him is the medical history. I think if not for that, he would be the consensus number one. If Fouts a team, to me, he has like the highest upside of anyone in this class, and I would pick him first out of all of the edge rushers too, Marcus.
Yeah, to your point, Mina, a reminder that Phillips had a series of concussions that were documented, and that's a big reason why he's in the situation that he's in. But either way, there's a lot of untapped talent potentially on the defensive side in this draft. It could be really interesting to see which teams go with which players.
What if in 2024 you got a little bit better every day? When you're learning a new language with Babbel, that's exactly what you're doing. And if Babbel can help you start speaking a new language in just 3 weeks, imagine what you could do in a full year. Don't pay hundreds of dollars for private tutors or waste hours on apps that don't really help you speak the language. Try Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are designed by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. It's designed by real people for real conversations. Babbel's tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teaching, so you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world. They have over 16 million subscriptions sold. Plus, all of Babbel's 14 award-winning language courses are backed by their 20-day money-back guarantee. Here's a special limited-time deal for our listeners. Right now, get 60% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/tackle. Get 60% off at babbel.com/tackle, spelled BABBEL.com/tackle. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Breaking news today on NFL Live, Adam Schefter with all the latest. Adam, what should we know?
Well, Laura, today, early in the day, the New England Patriots terminated the contract of wide receiver Julian Edelman, but they did so with the idea that he is expected to retire. His knees have deteriorated to the point where it's very difficult for him to play. And you're talking about a player here, Laura, who has the second most catches and receiving yards in NFL postseason history. Some of the most dramatic catches that we've seen in the postseason. A player that Tom Brady relied on. A player who typified the toughness of that city. He is expected to have played his last down. The contract terminated today, but that really was a technicality and a smaller part of the larger issue, which is that Julian Edelman is expected to walk away from the NFL.
And Adam, as you have mentioned on the show already today, really changed the way that we looked at slot receivers, the way that they're used in the game. All right, we got some more to get to today on NFL Live. How about this from our Packers reporter, Rob Domofsky? Check it out on ESPN.com. This article is great. An unnamed agent told Domofsky, I don't know who's really calling the shots there, talking about renegotiating Rodgers' contract. He said, could be all these people, but anyway, it's screwing the Packers in a lot of ways right now because there's just no cap space. This unnamed agent went on to say they've called me about one of my players and said, hey, this is where we are now until we get something big done. Hint, hint, we don't have any space. It's kind of like a lose-lose situation right now. That's what is surprising me. You'd think there would be a middle ground situation to get something done. So, Mina, this is all because the Packers and Aaron Rodgers just can't seem to agree on some sort of restructuring here. No one can really figure out exactly which side it's on. But what do you think of the quotes from the unnamed agent and the way that we should be looking at this situation with Rodgers and the Packers?
Well, I think Green Bay, or anyone wanting their player to sign with Green Bay, lost the right to say that Aaron Rodgers is screwing them or acting against the best interests of the team the second they drafted Aaron Rodgers' replacement last year, as well as a running back who's now their backup in the second round. That pretty much went out the window because they made a bet that they'd be able to move on from Rodgers. They clearly bet wrong, and now Rodgers is standing his ground and maintaining the ability potentially to leave Green Bay without a long-term commitment. Now, of course, if you're separate from either party and you're solely looking at this organization and saying, what would it take to maximize Rodgers' career right now and get back to the Super Bowl, or at least get back to the position we were in last year, absolutely restructuring would be best for the team. But again, Green Bay's kind of reaping what they sowed a little bit with that draft pick. And to me, clearly, we're seeing the consequences of that.
And to your last point, MK, that's why I stand firm on Aaron Rodgers is out of Green Bay. He's not willing to participate in what their plan is, right? Like, we made the argument about Jordan Love being drafted and him being disgruntled about that. But most quarterbacks, all right, They restructure in order for the team to get better. And let's explain what restructure is. That just means I'm giving you a signing bonus. That means I'm giving you more cash to put in your bank account right now as opposed to overtime, or he's asking for a new long-term deal, extension, and some money up front. Either way, it's Aaron Rodgers. He was the MVP last year. He was the reason why you ended up in the NFC Championship. And look, it's so conflicting for me because they do have a pretty good team. Like, you don't go 13-3 and get to the NFC Championship without having a good team. So this front office has shown competence in getting guys in the right position. But with that being said, Aaron Rodgers ain't happy. Ain't nobody going to be happy. That's what he's saying.
And I want to be clear about something. Green Bay, if Aaron Rodgers had played last year like he did the year before, I think we'd be having a different conversation. Like, we've been talking about teams with aging quarterbacks that didn't plan for the future. Your Pittsburghs, New Orleans. Green Bay did plan for the future. They made a calculated bet. It was just a bad bet. That's why they're in the situation that they're in, because Rodgers, whatever failed him, he clearly came back better than ever, and that's why we are talking about this situation like we are, because it's not necessarily a bad thing to draft your quarterback of the future.
I love it, guys. I can't hear anything. I'm holding this piece up to my ear because I've lost comms, but it's been great being with all of you today, and we will see you tomorrow on NFL Live. Thanks for joining us.